All right, let's take our Bibles now and turn to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. Lord willing, after I preach this message, we'll all have a little bit better understanding of what the Spirit of God moved the writer to say when we realize we don't know what to pray. God's people pray, but we don't know what to pray. But thanks be unto God that we have a great high priest who offers before the throne the prayers of the saints and declares what they would say if they could. The Holy Spirit moved David. Scripture says, a man after God's own heart, to pen a prayer that is accepted of God only in Him who's worthy. I would like for us to just look at these 12 verses for a moment, and I want to specifically say a few things about verse 8. Here is the prayer of our great intercessor, praying on behalf of his people. And this is what the people of God say when the Spirit helpeth their infirmities. This is the Lord Jesus Christ presenting their prayers before God. And this is what God hears. Psalm 26, 1 and 2. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Vindicate me, is what he's saying. Clear me of blame, for I have walked in my completeness. Walked in my innocence. I've trusted in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. I will not slip. I won't totter. I won't shake. Try me, O Lord, and prove me. Try the seat of my emotion, my affection. Try my inner man. Now, brethren, as I read these words, Neil, I thought this is holy ground right here. These are words that could never be spoken by a mere man. But when the great high priest, he who has loved his people everlastingly, who bore their guilt in his own body, put away their debt, and robes them in his righteousness. And he prays for them. And he presents what they did not even know to say. Who in this congregation here is listening? What believer would ever of himself say that to God? Judge me. Consider me. I have walked in my integrity. Here, the mediator himself, the husband, the redeemer, presents what you and I would have never dreamed of. They're accepted in his merit. Verses 3 to 5. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Thy loving kindness, your faithfulness, your goodness is before mine eyes. And I have walked, I have proceeded and lived in a manner of life according to your word. I have not sat, I have not dwelled, I have not had my abode with vain persons, and neither will I go in with dissemblers, those that conceal, those that hide, those who are pretenders. I have not dwelt with those guilty of sin. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ, in the days of his humility, in the days of his flesh upon this earth, he received sinners. He was a friend of sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. But he knew no sin. He knew no sin. David himself could never say these words, because he was, as all men, of himself, a sinner. Psalm 51. If you hold your place right there, just turn over. I'm just going to read the first three verses. Psalm 51. This is David in himself. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. That's how we are in ourselves. But when our great high priest, he who ever liveth to make intercession for us, takes our prayers, in his merit, and in him we have no debt. No debt before the law. We don't owe the law. We're robed in his righteousness. And he says that which it is. Verse 6, I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Oh, how wonderful to behold our Lord and Savior, our mediator before God, our great high priest before the throne. Again, David himself could never plead innocence before God. No believer does. Not in himself. But as David's advocate, one with him, I know, as I've said before, we're so far over our heads here. And we see through a glass darkly. One of these days we're going to know as we're known. And we walk right now. We walk and we see through a glass just like opaque. We see, but we see something. But here, the Lord pleading his own merit for his people. And here's what the Lord says, that in him his people pray, presenting their prayers. I've washed my hands, that figuratively, what I've done. Believer says, I've never done anything right. I've never thought anything right. Never spoken anything right. We all agree. We're all the first to admit. That's us. We're sinners before God. Oh, but when that sin has been paid for, it's cast as far as the east is from the west, behind the back of God, and see if his forgetfulness. And the Lord prays and says, as it is, he says, I will wash mine hands in innocency. I will compass thine altar. What was the altar for? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. When he approached the altar of God, when he went to the cross, he knew no sin. He was made sin. He was not a sinner. He was the obedient Lamb of God, made sin, and offered himself as the Redeemer of his people. He who is truly holy, harmless, undefiled. He said, I will compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. And tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Oh, he said, I have washed my hands in innocency. When I compass thine altar, like I just said, when he went to the cross and paid the debt, and the debt of God's people before the law is gone. He finished it. Gone. And when God Almighty sees the blood, he said, I pass over you. That's paid for. No charge. No charge here. Justified before God. That was done that I may publish the voice of thanksgiving, tell all the wondrous works. Oh, we do so as we preach the glorious gospel. No clearer sound of his accomplishment at Calvary through the preaching of Christ and him crucified. What we do, we said, that I may publish. You say, well, that's his people. That's his preachers publishing that. He said, I'm publishing that. We are ambassadors. As though God did beseech you by us. My sheep hear my voice. These are not my words. I'm not telling you. I'm reading these words right here. I'm reading what God has to say, and all I'm doing is expounding it. All I'm doing is giving you the sense of it. This is not what I came up with. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That the Father chose a people. I didn't know that until the Lord told me in here. I didn't know that. Of all thy wondrous works that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for the sheep. I didn't know that until I read it. The Spirit of God taught. I didn't know that. And that all that the Father's given him shall come to him. Well, I thought, would you? But no. Here's what it is. That all that the Father's given him shall come. They're coming. What do? Preach the gospel to them. Just preach the gospel to them. That's what we do, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All thy wondrous works, and that were sealed and kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, I've approached your altar. I've compassed your altar. My hands washed in innocency. that I may publish the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. I'm going to come back to that one in just a minute. I'm going to just read these last four, and then we'll make a few statements on verse 8. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place in the congregations. Well, I bless the Lord. I was especially drawn to what he said when he said in verse 11, redeem me and be merciful unto me. I would truly desire to be found among the redeemed. I truly would long to be found among those that God has been pleased to show mercy. He told Moses, I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. I would truly desire that. But do you know what? Even in my redemption and in my being the recipient of his mercy, again, I don't know how to ask for that. Now you think about that. Here's the Lord praying on the behalf of his people, asking. And the Father, whoever hears the Son, he's saying, redeem me. Well, I thought he was wanting to redeem his people. People is in union with him, one with him. And when he says me, he's talking about his people. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, I thought he was persecuting the Christians. The Lord said, you're persecuting me. That's me. Redeem me. And be merciful unto me. I want to make a couple of statements. A few statements on verse 8. Lord Jehovah, I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now, for sure, we know that in this world, that the glorious truth concerning the place, or heaven, let's say I said in the world, I mean all, heaven and earth, the glorious place where the honor of God. Jehovah, verse 8, Jehovah, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Where does the honor of Jehovah truly dwell? Let me just read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now my question was, where does the honor of God, Jehovah, dwell? The next few verses, the word says, to wit, that God was in Christ. That's where God's honor dwelleth. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He doesn't give us a set of rules and regulations on how. He said, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where does the honor of Jehovah dwell? first in Christ Jesus, the Lord. He is the door. He's the express image of the Father. He said, to see me is to see the Father. He is the one in whom the honor, the glory, the abundance, the riches, the dignity of Jehovah dwelleth. And the one in whom the honor of God dwelleth is magnified in this world in that he dwells within his people. The place where God's honor dwelleth is in Christ. And hold your place right there. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3:6. 1 Corinthians 3:6. I mean, 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. The Lord said, verse 8, I love the place where thine honor dwelleth. In Christ is all the fullness of the Godhead. This is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And listen to this. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I love where thine honor dwelleth. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And you're not your own? Do you not know that? But when it comes down, we begin to start looking at this thing as we can behold something of it. I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And the Lord is in his people. Know ye not that you're the temple? You're the temple. You just bring it down where I can understand it a little bit, maybe. When he says, I love the place where thine honor dwelleth. God loves his people. He loves his people. He loves to be with them. Wants to be with them. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of you. I'm with you. Don't you love to be with people that you bond with? Where two or three are gathered together, come together, meet together, there am I in the midst of them. He loves the place where God's honor dwells. I'm so appreciative of this building right here. Beautiful building. All the work, sweat that was put into building this. What a beautiful building. I really appreciate this building. But here's the place where God's honor dwells. Here's where God's honor dwells. Where he's honored himself in the redemption of his people. And I'll tell you this, he loves it, and God's people love it too. In John 13:35, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, you have love one for another. The Lord said, I love where your honor dwelleth. God's people do too. I love where God's honor dwelleth, right there. God's people love each other. Oh, we meet together. The Lord's raised up places. And again, I'm not talking about brick and mortar. I'm talking about saints where God raises up a place an assembly of believers, part his body. And it sets forth the fellowship that the Lord has with his people and we have with one another. This is how it's declared. And we don't take it lightly or carelessly. It's a place, it's an assembly of serious devotion where the gospel is preached, where the Lord is magnified through the truth. That message that is absolutely essential to salvation. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, in closing, just turn over to Acts 2. Acts 2, where true fellowship is beheld. When the Lord has been pleased to do something for a group of people. Acts chapter 2. Let me tell you, let's just look at the book of Acts. I'll just read a few verses here. I'm going to read Acts 2, verses 41, 47. Here's the spirit of God's people. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, not for salvation, but because of it, confessing. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. And fear, respect, came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need, and they continuing daily with one accord. You see, you notice the togetherness here? I love the place of your habitation where your honor dwelleth. I love that. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all men. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What were they doing? Old Peter and a group of men standing over there on the day of Pentecost, and they were preaching the gospel. Fred, and God blessed it. And God blessed it. That's what happened. Where he's honored, where the Spirit of God blesses to the salvation of God's sheep, where the scriptures are faithfully proclaimed, and the sheep feast spiritually upon the bread of heaven, the hearts of God's people truly burn within, and they're thankful. They're thankful for the privilege to be able to come together and meet. David said, Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go worship God. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts for Christ's sake.